No, that would be one of my sons. Phil didn't do it this time. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you, if I'd say God is, what would you come up with? We got good. Love. Awesome. God is all of those things, isn't he? He is every one of those things. God is love. God is good. God is merciful. God is kind. And the hilarious thing is, we can say that when we say God is love, I've told you this before, you can say love is God because he is one and the same. I don't know. I just woke up this morning and in awe of how good God is. You know, it's not that I don't know it. I mean, I get up every morning and I sit out. Like this morning, I got to go out on the deck, and I'm sitting there, and I just said, God, this is wonderful. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, out there with a cup of coffee, and just enjoying what God has created. I got rabbits bouncing all over the yard. I got birds dive-bombing each other. And it's just a beautiful thing, and God put all that here for us to enjoy. You know, and so many people don't want to, I don't know. I just can't wrap my mind around people that can't figure out that God is good. And he is good all the time. Well, why bad things? Well, because God is good. People make stupid decisions. Amen? Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. That you are good, that you are benevolent, you are merciful. Father, you are all of those things. Father, we do not do this out of fear. We do this out of reverence and honor to you. We present to you, Father, our tithe and our offering. Bless it, Lord God. Press it down, shake it together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Oh, yeah, prayer request. I forgot to look at them. Okay. Well, that's. Did you find more? Okay. Praise God. Well, we will deal with these things. Oh, praise the Lord. If you don't know that God is any of those things that we just all went around saying, let me tell you something right now. It's because you're not close enough to God. Did I say that plain enough? You aren't. Not me. You're not close enough. God's love, everything that is God is something you have to experience. I can tell you what it's like to fly in an airplane, and you would have no idea still. That's why people are so afraid of flying. We'll talk about fear. I'm thinking we'll talk about fear next week. But let's keep in mind what fear really is. It's an unknown factor. That's all that it really is. It's an unknown factor. The doctor says, I need to talk to you. They don't tell you anything over the phone. So they tell you, I need to talk to you. What happens? The unknown factor kicked in. You don't know what the doctor wants to talk to you about. Maybe he's going to say, man, what are you doing? You are in outstanding shape. But that's not what went through your mind when the doctor said, I need to talk to you. Or here's a major one. The boss calls you into his office. Nobody likes that. Oh man, what did I do now? You did nothing. He was giving you a pay raise. But fear, the unknown factor, kicked in, and you had no clue what was going on. But that's, like I said, it's not the message for today. So let's not, I don't want to dwell on that. Because what we're going to talk about today is a little bit, does line up with a little bit of that. Maybe just laying some groundwork for it. So open your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, for nor in the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." All of these things. Now, I know most of us know Psalm 91 because we've been quoting it, been writing it on stuff since 2003 when we started deploying troops to Iraq and Afghanistan. Everybody, even people that aren't saved, have been using Psalm 91 as some sort of mantra, just like they use St. Christopher medals and stuff to try to protect themselves. Unless it stops a bullet and the bullet hits it and deflects off, that's the only way that's deflecting you. You need to walk in a relationship with God. When He's talking about this, He starts talking in verse 1 there. Yeah, I'll bring it. Look here. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." Now, here's the thing. A lot of times we get to talk and we think secret place. This is a place where that you go and you're with God, and that's just, you know, it's your little prayer closet. It is none of that. You guys, we got to get rid of all this garbage that have been taught by religious people trying to tell you that you got to rely upon your prayer closet. Things changed. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Well, I got to fast and pray a week before I can make a decision. No, I understand fasting and praying. Pray about a decision sometimes before you make it, but sometimes you don't have a week. You got to let somebody know right now, do you not? Well, I just don't know. What's the Holy Spirit telling you in your heart? So you don't have the time and the luxury to go find a place to pray. The Holy Spirit is instant. Boom, boom, boom. He's better than Google. You ask Him a question, He can come up with an answer, and He'll give you the right one, not just who's paying the most that day. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who abides," dwelling, your home, that's where you abide. It's why it's called an abode or a dwelling place. It's where you live. It is where you are you. It is where the you that puts on the long sleeve white shirt, the socks and the dark glasses, and you slide across your floor singing old-time rock and roll. That is you. That is your dwelling place. It is where you live. It's where you are you. The you that is sitting here today is not the you that is at home. Is it? Let's be honest, shall we? At home, you are extremely comfortable. I highly recommend nobody ever just walk into my house. My boys, when they, my, my, when Tony started coming around, they'd ring the door, knock, knock. Dad, you got pants on? Yes. They learned to knock on the door. You don't know what you might walk into. Our bathroom is now right there back. Somebody may not have shut the door. I know we always shut the door. No, we did at home because Dad would yell. But now that it's out of sight, out of mind, I don't think about it. They use the door. I can't be a hypocrite. Okay? I'll yell at him if it's really getting bad. But if you live in a whole house full of guys, you can ask my wife. That door never gets shut. It takes more time to shut the door than do what we got to do. So we're just saving time. But that is where we are the most relaxed. It's where we are who we are. Now, I'm not saying who you're at home is bad. I'm just saying you let your hair down. You relax. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who relaxes and is himself with God in an intimate, that's what secret means. That's why Victoria's Secret is called that. The word means intimates. Victoria's Intimates. That's what she sells, right? So we're talking about he who is abiding, he who is staying, he who is who he is in God's presence, in the secret place, in the intimate presence of God. You're there in his arms. And shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's go on down to verse 3. It says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Now, let's stop right here. I know there's been a lot of things spoken. The Bible tells us that God had created man in his image, correct? So where are our feathers? Let's remember to use metaphors properly. David was using a metaphor. He's not saying that God's got wings. He was using a metaphor of a bird who is protecting her babies. She spreads out her wings. You look at them geese. As much as I hate them border jumpers, they will defend their babies. And they sit on them eggs and they cover their babies up and they will guard those babies. And, you know, I've never been bit by one, but I'm going to show them that I'm just as mean as they are. Because they're usually hanging out where the best fishing spot is. That's why. It's never failed. If you find a good spot where the fish you think are hiding, that's where the geese are nesting. And they will try to run you off. They will protect their babies. Okay? You ever see, I think it's hilarious to see a buzzard or a hawk flying and dodging and all this. And it's got this tiny little bird going at it, man. You ever see that? That little baby bird is protecting its babies. This is what the metaphor David was using when he was talking about this. Not that God necessarily has wings. If we're made in his image, his likeness, I want my wings. Doggone it, I'm tired of walking everywhere. Birds got legs too. They can hop and they can walk around places, but man, they can whoo. Forget this following the highway system. Man, I'm going to go straight as a crow flies, right? I got something in my eye, sorry. So what we have here is an image of a bird protecting its babies. In a intimate. You got to get pretty intimate with that bird. You are right there up against its breast. And you're hugging it real tight. And David is saying, if you dwell, if you abide in an intimate relationship with God, God will protect you. It does not matter your family situation. None of that stuff matters. I can promise you right now, you know, Angela's, from time to time, boys and I have seen a side of her that is not seen here. And they've seen a side of me that is not seen here. But although I have tried to reveal a little bit of that side, from time. But I promise you, if you break in, anybody breaks into my house and tries to harm my family, the coroner is who's going to show up, because I will defend my family. And it's not because I'm looking to kill or fight. I heard somebody try to explain their stand on it. They think evidently all Marines have killed 1 million people. And they said, well, I'm a lover, not a fighter. So am I. The difference is I'll fight for that which I love. Huge difference. And you don't even have to serve in the military to have that. Okay? You have to understand what David was saying here. He said there could be there could be arrows flying in the air. There could be war. There could be things in the night. Remember what I told you about the unknown. Fear of the unknown. It's what the darkness represents here. It's unknown. You don't know what's out there. You can't see it. And when it gets dark, that's why people fear things, because they don't know what's out there. How many times, I know as a child, I'd leave something laying in the yard and somebody said, you got to go get this. Well, I left it out there and I'd see something laying over here. I didn't remember what. Now, there's five of us, so we didn't always know who left what where. And there's been many times I went running across the yard and found my brown bicycle. And I broke the habit of leaving it lay down in the yard. It has a kickstand for a reason. And it was the fear of what might be out there. That's all it was. Oh, but the darkness represents evil. Yeah, so do goats. And how many Christians have goats? Let's get over it, shall we? You can ask my family, I prefer to walk through my house in the dark. It's quiet. My eyes adjust. God made my eyes to adjust. Imagine that. Well, only demon-possessed people are up at night. I heard that. I'm telling you, I heard that. Taught. The garbage that we have pulled out of the Bible and twisted just to control people is insane. Psalm 91 is about an intimate relationship with a loving God. Somebody who David realized, and he pulled this out of his observations of nature. David saw these birds protecting their young and their babies. He remembers what it was like to be on a battlefield and the arrows flying. He remembers being a knight because he led many night raids. What might be out there? What might not be out there? The lion. Come on, let's remember what David said when he went to slay Goliath. The young lion came to take the sheep and I was there and I took it by the beard. He got it in this secret place and he killed it. Snakes. I know many of you got a fear of snakes. Especially up here. I'm going to tell you right now, I heard something on Miss Trisha the other day. I heard she's got about a 5-foot black snake in her backyard. Two of them. She pets. They are this long. Yeah, they're bigger than her. A lot of people don't like snakes. I get it. Rattlesnakes in particular. Copperheads. But there's still no reason to fear. Your odds really of being bit by one is very slim to none. And yes, there are some around here. Don't mean to throw you for a loop, but ODNR released swamp rattlesnakes over in Killdeer Plains, and there have been eastern timbers found in Knox County. But you still do not need to fear. They don't want to bite you. You are not their prey. Do you look like a rat? No, that's one of their favorite foods. God wants an intimate relationship with us so that he can protect us. That's why Angela and I have always talked about this. You know, when our kids, we had to come to this point. We cannot protect our children all the time. So we have to rely on God. That is why David said, you are my refuge in whom I can trust. God is my refuge. He's my children's refuge and my children's children's refuge. I place them under him. If something comes after them and I can do something about it, I'm going to do something about it. But I don't have to worry. That's why God gave me the vision he did years ago of a situation in church. I'm not going to talk about it because it chokes me up. Was I did not have to worry. Well, Pastor, we know you carry a gun, so you don't worry. No, I don't always carry. I saw a shirt yesterday. I loved the shirt. It had a picture of an AR-15 on the front. It said, "This is a tool." In letters about yay tall. It said, "This is a tool." On the back, it says, "I am the weapon." I don't have to worry about it. Well, Pastor, they got a gun. And I got tongues. You want to see somebody run? You just start speaking in tongues. They're going to say, "You're crazy." Especially you chase them down, try to lay hands on them. Come here. Come here. We do not need to fear and worry about all the stuff that's going on. We don't have to fear about anything. Oh, but I'm just so fearful. That's why garbage happens to you. Are you seeing the connection? Well, I don't know about the future. I'm sorry, is anybody in here a fortune teller? Nobody knows the future. Even here's a great thing. It's why I want to help people out with prophecy. So many people are still trying to hold on to living by a prophecy. God never told you the whole thing, so you wouldn't try to live by it. He gives us bits to say, "I got something coming." Let me tell you something. The other day I called, I told Angela, I showed them pictures, and Joshua, the same thing. I was over in Lima. It was right at the edge of Lima. I came across a round barn. Round. Okay? Cool barn. I would have hated to have put the roof on it. But it was a cool barn. But as I drove by that one day, I was like, "Well, I've been here before. I know where I'm at." She's never been there, and they were with me. In my memory, Joshua was with me. But neither, I showed him the picture like, "I've never seen that barn, Dad." God showed me a little bit of something to come, but did not want me gearing my life up to go towards that. I would have gone nuts trying to find this barn because it's not on a main road. It's not in on any road I normally would have traveled, except it cut a minute off of my route. God showed us a little bit in Revelation. Little bit. By the way, that was from beginning of time to the end. So it's a little blip on the grand scheme of things. But he left enough vague to let us know there's going to be a one world power rising. Are you not seeing what's trying to happen today? Even Europe is realizing, "Oh, we messed up by becoming a union. Now the EU is trying to make us take people that we can't afford to feed or that we can't safely bring in." They want a one world order. It is trying. It's trying here. And you know, we've seen the garbage coming. That's all that prophecy was ever for. The prophecies you need to be worried about is when God says, "Repent or else." Those are the ones that is pretty much cut and dry. Don't try to live your life according to a prophecy somebody gave you. Live your life according to now. "Well, I know what God's got for me at the end." Well, that's okay. That's at the end. What about today? You're alive today. You know you're not promised tomorrow. So why not live today according to what God's leading today? Anyhow, lest I digress into that. But God will cover us and protect us. Last night, I got a revelation of this. It was cool. I don't know. Did you put any of it on Facebook? Yeah. Okay. Last night, Remy the other day alerted us to some baby squirrels in a tree beside our house. He's sitting there looking up. And these squirrels crawled right down to him. One got up there close enough, and we had to get... We don't know what he... All I can tell you is Remy is a dog. If it's got a squeak, he's taking the squeaker out of it. Okay, so we didn't know what he was going to do. Birds are the only thing he's ever really gone after. He chases the rabbits, but they jump into wheat field and he can't find them anymore, and he stands there looking around. But birds, he hates birds. He's chased turkeys, every robin that lands in the yard, man. He's chased Canadian geese out of the field, which doesn't break my heart. But he got hold of this one. I mean, he got down there and he just kind of did. He didn't bite down on it or hurt it. He just didn't know what it was. He thought, hey, it's a stuffed toy that moves. So we knew they were there, and we kept working. Well, yesterday, these squirrels started coming down, and they were, you know, they're chirping, they're lost. A couple of them were kind of grunting, sound like little pigs. But they were doing their little chirp because they're lost. They're obviously, they've been evicted. And they're too big for their nest now. And Mama says, I ain't feeding you no more. Get out. And Angela, at one point, goes down, and she's down there, and I actually got a video of it. She's like, come here, and this little squirrel. You got to understand, they look like stick people. These things are so tiny. They got these heads that are about that big around, and their bodies are about the size of my pinky. They're just skinny little things. And this one's kind of hopping across the grass because it's that little. And it comes right up to her, sniffs her hands, and then it hops off. And I said, well, I bet it's kind of hungry. It seems to be, look, let's get some nuts. I got a peanut, and I went down there and got it, and it came over to me and kind of sniffed around, and it went over to her, sniffed around the nut in her hand, didn't do anything, and then it went hopping on up, and I said, well, I'll go up and see if it'll come back, and it did. It jumped up in my hand, started walking up my arm, crawled, and I'm going to tell you right now, when a squirrel's on the back of your neck, you get the heebie-jeebies. I don't care who you are, especially after you just got a haircut. And it's like, this squirrel's up here because it was trying to nurse, I think, on my hand. It was able to get a little bit of the callus part of my hand right there. And I'm like, that little thing's biting me. And so anyhow, and I'm thinking, I don't want you to bite my ears. Don't bite my ear. Don't bite the back of my head because I'm going to really throw you. You know, and then it walked all over, and well, it had gone up this arm, came around, and then, you know, and I kept breaking the nut up into smaller pieces, and it's down there, and it just keeps taking its head, and it's trying to bully its way around. So I called it Bullwinkle, because it's just pushing itself around. Well, I'm standing there, and I got my hand cupped like this, so it can sit there. Next thing I know, that thing has bullied itself around. Its legs are spread over my hand. Its tail's hanging over my hand, and it's asleep. The squirrel had crawled up into made a nest in my chest hair, and he went to sleep. And you can ask Angela. It was probably around 7:30 at that time, and it was dark when I finally said, okay, enough is enough. The mosquitoes are feasting happily right now. But that ain't all the story, because I ended up with three of them. And we found a fourth one last night, and they were all out this morning. But this squirrel, and that's when I got this revelation. I watched as this squirrel, and I told Angela, I said, it just dawned on me. It found its place, the same place my boys did. Right here. Right over my heart. He could hear my heartbeat. He curled up right there, and it's a Bambi movie. The little squirrel's got its head up there, and it's got its tail wrapped around its face. She's got a picture of it. Every time she'd go to take a picture, the squirrel would change positions. About 30 seconds is all you had. I'm like, no wonder these things are skinny all the time. They don't stop moving. He probably laid in one position for about 3 minutes. That was the length of it, and I sat there for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, holding him. But he slept there. And as he laid there sleeping, it dawned on me, Psalm 91. The intimate. He will hold him. The squirrel was looking for a refuge, a place to sleep. And after I met his brothers, I know why. I met Ren and Stimpy. They're special. they think they were flying squirrels. They tried to run off of my arm, and as they hit the ground, and they just sat there, and you could see the stars going around their head. I'm like, well, that'll teach you, dummy. Now get up here. Next thing I know, I've got both of them, and I tried to put them all right here, and they were just would not stop moving. And Bullwinkle, he just wanted to sleep. He left the comfort of, you know, usually they do ball up. He left the comfort of that to go to my other hand and sleep by himself. Evidently, he never had his own bed either. So, but these other two nitwits, they stayed right there. And I tell you, we can pick them out. We know who is who. Bullwinkle's a little bit of the runt. The other two, they don't leave each other. They're like the two possums on the Ice Age. That's exactly what they were like. One's doing something stupid. The other one's right there with him. They one goes up the tree. They both go up the tree. But this other, the Bullwinkle would leave. And then the other one must have been the girl. She's like, I ain't messing with you nitwits. But I got the revelation of how much God cared for us. As I said, because I'm going to tell you right now, I have unloaded a shotgun on these squirrels before. The older versions. Okay? These are not the squirrels I like. These are squirrels that sit in a tree and they bark at me when I'm hunting. They let everybody in the neighborhood know, hey, something over here y'all don't need to be coming by. I never see a deer when they're one of them are around. And so I would always pick them off. Well, I'm going to be easy on these guys. I don't expect them to be around real long. Squirrels don't last on our road for some reason. But I got the revelation of how much God loves us. Because even though this thing was not my child, when the terror that walks in the night, known as Remy, came up, I'm sitting on the deck in my chair, and Remy comes up. He's and Angel's like, Remy. And he looks over at her, walks around, and he comes up. And he got right about there. And, you know, I had my hand on his neck. If you've ever seen his neck, that's quite a job to do. He's all muscle. To push him away, and he obeyed. He's a good dog. He obeyed. But, boy, he wanted to play with them squirrels. That's all there was to it, man. They were down in the ferns. He's over snooping and digging up my ferns trying to find the squirrels. But you see, that squirrel did wake up when he got close enough that it could smell him. And it stuck its head up out of the little cup in my hand, and it looked around, and I'd already pushed Remy away, and he curled right back up and went back to sleep. And I realized just how much God protects us. How much God... I wouldn't go let my dog hurt that thing, even though I don't really care for him. They're just rodents with fuzzy tails. They really are. But yet, I wasn't going to let my dog take out his squeak box. God is no different with us. He's not going to let the terror that walks by night. He's not going to let the destruction that comes in the heat of the day. He's not going to let that bother you. But you have, there's a stipulation, okay? There is a, you have to walk in an intimate relationship with him. And that means you've got to get to know God. Read your Bible, okay? But talk to him. And by the way, you're never going to get a revelation. Every revelation comes by doing something. It doesn't come by you just sitting there studying your Bible. Unless it was something God needed to show you so you could teach. Most of the time, revelations like that come by you doing something. That is how God wants us to know him. To know that he's going to protect us. But we have got to walk close with him. You know, you all know, most of us in here know that old song, A Closer Walk with Thee. That's all I want. Granted, Jesus is my plea. How many of us today are still singing that in our hearts? A closer walk with God. We want a closer walk with blessing. We don't want a closer walk with God. We want to know how to get the blessing. There's only one real way to get the blessing. And it ain't chanting some mantra. It ain't sending money to anybody else. Those are tools. But they are not the way. The way is to walk closer with God. Abraham's blessing is yours because you walk as Abraham did. Abraham walked with God. He knew God. You know, when he was to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham knew God wouldn't kill Isaac. He knew it. Well, I don't know if I could walk as Abraham. You could if you knew God. But nobody else really knew God like that. They thought God wants a human sacrifice. Therefore, because human sacrifice was common in the land of Canaan. But Abraham knew God didn't want his son's life. Because he had made a promise through his son. Why do you think he told him? Through you, I will bless the world. That meant I have to have a son. And Ishmael was not it. So if you really want blessing, you want to know that comfort of knowing that, okay, it's a little dark out here right now. I don't know what's going on around me. You got to walk close with God. It ain't happening any other way. You're not going to know God through me. I'm going to tell you right now, you will not. I just told you a revelation I got, but you do not have that revelation yet. It's going to take an experience. I can tell you about flying, but it's going to take you flying to experience it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I love flying. Justin said, man, what do you think it'd be like to fly through a cloud? I said, well, I have. He said, what's it like? I said, you can't see nothing. I said, you're in total faith that the pilot knows what he's doing because you can't see squat. I said, but I'll tell you right now, when you come above those clouds, or you break out of the clouds and you can see the ocean. I've seen icebergs. The polar cap. Just from the window. I love flying. Well, what if it falls out of the sky? Well, the odds are the same thing that the plane falls out of the sky and hits you in your yard. So why don't we not worry about that? It's a fear of the unknown. And as my dad said, the fall doesn't kill you. It's a sudden stop. People used to ask him how he could climb on those towers and those tall poles. Aren't you afraid of falling? He said, no, the fall don't kill you. It's that sudden stop at the end. That's the only thing that's got me concerned. But if you're afraid of everything, like I said, I can't get into that. I want to do this next week, but you better start getting to know God. There is no fear in God. No fear. That's why there's no fear in love. There's no fear in God. Well, I don't know. What if God gets mad at me? Oh my goodness. Have you not read the Bible? Sir, just one more time. What if we put the fleece outside? Did God smote him? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, because he doubted what God was telling him, he paid a price. He went from 20,000 to 300. That's a big price. But if you don't know God like that, that's your fault. Not your preacher's fault, not your mama's fault. It's your fault. You got nobody to blame but yourself. That includes anybody that's listening on the internet. You're the only one who stops your relationship with God. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I don't care what you've been through either. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking around here. I know there's people in here that have been raped, abused. I know all of that. You don't need to know who. It's none of your business until they're willing to say. Maybe we'll talk about being nosy later. I'm telling you, people, who is it? None of you. None of your dang business. I'll tell on myself just so I can be an example, but that's it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I only know God this way by, one, forgiving people. And forgiveness is something you have to walk in every day. You have to choose to forgive them. You have to choose to forgive the next sin and the next sin and the next sin. And that's just that person. Most of us have got a day where we come in contact with a couple people. You know, the guy that decided to pull out in front of you and then flipped you the bird. Don't quite get that. Anytime that happens, I think of that song, "Some Beach, Somewhere." But I tell you this today, folks, if you want to abide in His shadow, I'm going to tell you right now, like I said, we all get worried. Oh, but Pastor, the shadow of death, it is upon me. Please remember, folks, why there's a shadow. Because there's a light. I think it was Jesse the other day telling me about light. We were talking, I think it's, and maybe Faye can confirm this too, I don't know, science-y type deal. It's about 14 miles, just if you can get utter darkness, that you can see just the faintest of lights. But we'll never have utter darkness because of all the lights we've got. From space, if you've ever seen the Earth, it's glowing. But if you could, the tiniest of lights, if we blacked out everything in here and all I did was light a little match, that little match would make so much light. Now imagine each one of us lighting a match. One little light creates quite a shadow. I don't fear the shadow. I don't fear what's creating the shadow. I fear and honor that which is behind the thing creating the shadow. You know, it's kind of like one of those deals where the bully's there picking on you and you're standing there and you're smiling and saying, and like, what? Turn around. Or, you know, you got a little dinosaur threatening to eat you and then the T-Rex is right there and takes the raptor's head off. Give you some good visualization for a peaceful church meeting. Maybe call this the dinosaur message. I don't know. That or Victoria's Secret. I think that one would get people looking at it. Ooh, Victoria's Secret. I need to listen to this one. All right. So having said that, we're going to pray. I got to find my glasses. Because, you know, folks, that's why when I pray, I don't know about y'all. I don't want to get religious about it. I just want to deal with what needs to be dealt with. Why? Because I know the God who created me, and I know the God who's going to answer these prayer requests. And it's not because I said a million words and said the same stupid thing. And I will tell you this right now, and I'm just waiting for a few more prayer requests, and I'll start praying. But Phil actually helped me one day. I preached a message, and I'm going to tell you right now, I know it was a good message. And it was a short one, 10 minutes I think is what it was, 10 or 15 minutes. But I felt the need to keep going, and I lost it. I lost it. There's a fine line. And sometimes I know I go beyond it. But that's just because sometimes I see people sitting there. They're in tilt mode. Their flappers aren't going to flap anymore until the game resets. Okay. We're going to go before the Lord. We're going to pray for these things. We're going to trust. Trust. Those that, listen, I'm speaking to those of you that put a prayer request in here, especially those of you that you're intimate with the people. Okay? Trust God. Don't worry. Your trust, if you're worrying, you're telling God, I don't trust you. I know that sounds hard and cruel, but that's exactly what you're saying. I don't trust you. What has God done that you don't trust him? He gave you life. He gave you his son. Just saying. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come.